Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we're going to differentiate between two important aspects of mental illness, mental health issues, and that's the difference between a diagnosis and symptomatology.
Wow.
It's a big topic.
That's an interesting approach. Diagnoses are based on symptoms.
Right.
Yep. Just because you have the symptoms doesn't mean you have the diagnosis.
That's right.
That's where you're headed.
That's where we're going.
You didn't tell me that part.
That's our mission.
So diagnoses are based on symptoms,
mm-hmm.
but just because you have symptoms doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a diagnosis.
Absolutely.
So when we talk about keeping guns out of the hands of people with mental illness, are we talking about keeping them out of the hands of people with symptoms or with the diagnosis?
Right.
Oh.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, but it's...
important stuff, I think.
You got to keep repeating that, though. That's complicated.
It is complicated.
I mean, for somebody who's not... For example, the typical lawmaker who mm-hmm. sits in Tallahassee or Pennsylvania mm-hmm. or Harrisburg or New
right.
York, for the typical lawmaker, they don't know these nuances.
Right.
Okay. So what... And kind of what we've been saying is you need to be aware of these nuances
mm-hmm.
before you start making policy
exactly.
decisions.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I think that this is an important thing because let's throw an example out there just because I think this is something that everyone can relate to. All right? Everyone has that friend who needs things to be a certain way, puts everything in a certain place, and, you know, has to move things to make sure that it's just right. And that and if you don't have a friend that does that, it may be you. But those people refer to themselves as having OCD.
Right. Okay? I have OCD.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the vast majority of people who say that mm-hmm. do not have OCD.
Correct.
Obsessive compulsive disorder.
Right.
Obsessive compulsive disorder is an impairing condition. We know people.
Emphasis on impairing.
Yes, a significantly impairing condition that makes it difficult to function in normal life. I mean, these are people who, you know, spend hours a day engaging in their obsessive compulsive
mm-hmm.
practices.
Mm-hmm.
Because you like or prefer or need things to be a certain way does not mean that you have OCD. It means that you like and need for things to be a certain way.
I've reached a point in my life where I'm in this routine now.
Mm-hmm.
Where I come to the same place each day. There are four things that I need to bring with me.
Mm-hmm.
Keys, wallet, car key, and glasses. Keys, wallet, cell phone, glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have those four things with me.
Right.
Doesn't make me OCD.
Right.
Even though I do this little ritual every morning,
mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
I don't have OCD.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So because we have some of those tendencies, we have some of those symptoms,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that we have a condition, a disorder,
a diagnosable mental illness. So that's
yeah.
where we go back to DSM
right.
5 that we talked about yesterday.
Right.
If you're talking about mental illness, you're talking about meeting all the criteria and being impaired.
Right.
In order to get a diagnosis,
right.
there has to be some impairment.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So when people jokingly say, well, she has OCD.
Mm-hmm.
No, she has some little routines.
Right.
But okay.
Right. Another example, very common example that I alluded to yesterday, is, you know, the prevalence of mood swings.
Yeah.
You know, a person comes in, I have mood swings, I must have bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Because bipolar disorder is, for whatever reason, referred to or characterized as mood swings.
Mm-hmm.
No. Bipolar disorder, not that way. Bipolar disorder does not manifest
in that way. In the way that we think about where, you know, I could go from being very happy and then something can happen and all of a sudden, you know, I'm really angry or really sad. Right. And then, you know, boom, I can just be fine again.
Or my mood changes from day to day or right. from different parts of the day. Yeah. Perfectly normal.
I mean, it's perfectly normal. Or it could be a manifestation of something else. It could be, right. it could have something to do with stress. It could have something to do with something else. But it's not bipolar disorder.
Right.
And so we work so hard, I think, sometimes to label things. We, you know, there's something mm-hmm. about us, there's some characteristic or trait, and we want to label it mm-hmm. with something. And I think that does two things that really harm us. Mm-hmm. One is I think in many ways it contributes, and this is going to sound weird for me to say it this way, and I didn't prep you for this, but what? No. Why is this any different than anything else?
I didn't say that.
You were thinking it, but and I could feel.
It's because you're a psychologist.
I could feel your anger. I think that in part it contributes to the stigma, because we see people behave.
Naming contributes.
Right. Right. Because we see someone engaging in a behavior that we think is problematic, that we think is weird or unusual. And our first inclination is to attach a mental illness or mental health label to that.
Right.
And we say, oh, there must be something wrong. And we'll say there must be something wrong with that person.
Right.
And we right. are often talking about a mental illness when we say that.
But sometimes labeling it can also be helpful.
Right.
I mean, if you say, well, no, your child's not bad. She has ADHD. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a condition, you know, right. that she really can't help what right. she's doing. Or she can, but it's going to take a lot of work to right. get her there. So naming it, say, oh, okay, that now I understand. Now I know what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, naming is stigmatizing.
Right.
Okay, you have. Remember, for a long time, we say you are diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
You are epileptic. You mm-hmm. are depressed. No.
Right.
You have.
Right.
You know, now we're using more yeah. politically correct language. But we don't want to identify people based on a disorder.
Right.
Okay. Because that does have a stigma.
Right.
You know, and you're an epileptic. What, do you put a bell around your neck and, you know.
Right. Right.
Live in a ghetto.
But I think that you just identified the two problems. The first is, again, we look at for any atypical behavior and we immediately want to attribute it to a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that says, oh, that person is acting weird, so they must have a mental illness.
Right.
So there's our stigma. Right. I think on the other side, the other problem that this contributes to mm-hmm. is, you know, 20% of the population have a mental illness. Well, part of that is because we work so hard to identify
right.
a mental illness, and this mm-hmm. is going to contribute to the problem that we talked about yesterday, which means that if we being so sure. readily mm-hmm. Able to make a diagnosis of something, so readily eager sometimes to make a diagnosis mm-hmm. of something, it contributes to the problem of trying to figure out what to do
mm-hmm.
About some of these big issues like
right.
like gun control and, mm-hmm. and gun laws and things like that.
Right.
You know? So on both ends, or sort of on both sides, we have issues with this tendency to look at symptoms
mm-hmm.
and immediately apply it to a diagnosis, or assume that it's a part of a diagnosis.
Right, right.
Because, you know, it's one thing to have a fever.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to have meningitis.
Right.
A fever in and of itself is a symptom.
Right.
It could mean nothing. Meningitis, however, is a pretty serious
right.
health
right.
condition,
mm-hmm.
a symptom, you know, one symptom of which could be a fever.
Right. Right.
So there's a massive difference between these two things, and I think it's really important, and as you said a moment ago, many times the people who are making policies and who are making claims or trying to make decisions about these things don't know
right.
any of this.
Right.
They don't understand that difference.
Right. That's right. Yeah, because you can't... The search for the mentally ill is probably not going to yield very much.
Right.
Okay? Because of the complexity of... And the stigma attached to making mm-hmm. a diagnosis.
Right.
Okay? You can't on the one hand, we want people to seek treatment. You know, mm-hmm. we say to college students, you got to get treatment.
Right.
Or we say to high school students, tell us if something's mm-hmm. going on. So we're constantly encouraging people to get the treatment that they right. need. But as soon as you make a diagnosis, now there's a stigma attached.
Right.
You know, oh, you have this, so you can't get this. You
right.
can't go in the military because you took medication for ADHD.
Right.
You know,
right. Now you have that, so now you can't own a gun.
You can't own a gun. And that's the, again, and we said yesterday, gun ownership is not the issue right now.
Right.
Okay. The Second Amendment is one of 10 that we mm-hmm. need to be very careful about. And mm-hmm. so you don't want to deny person any rights based
right.
on a mental illness, because it's the two things don't correlate very well.
Right.
Right. So we need to be exceedingly careful
yeah.
that you start denying people. You know, you say, I want you to go get help. But now that you have a diagnosis, we're going to deny you one of your basic rights.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a conundrum there that
right.
we need to think long and hard about.
Yeah, I think it's very, and it's a very fine line.
That's right.
To navigate, but I think it's an important one for us to focus on
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
if we don't, we're going to be left with a couple of issues,
mm-hmm.
a couple of pretty big issues, I think.
Right.
One is, as you just said, you know, we want people to go and get treatment. If you
mm-hmm.
if there are symptoms or behaviors
That's
or
right.
characteristics that you're having that you that are bothering you,
right.
you need to go get treatment for that.
Right.
However, if you believe that some of your rights are going to be taken away, if those symptoms are in fact part of a disorder,
right.
what is the likelihood of you going to get treatment?
You're not going to go.
You're probably
right.
not.
And it could be untreated mental illness.
Right.
That's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, as we've been talking about, only 7% of
right.
people who have engaged in mass shootings had a pre-identified mental
mm-hmm.
illness.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many more, you know, a much larger percentage
Mm-hmm.
had post-hoc diagnoses
right.
made.
Post-hoc.
Right. So after the shooting, we look back
post-hoc.
And say, oh, wow,
yeah.
look at that. This
yeah.
person really did have a mental illness that went unidentified. And then they start pointing fingers to all these people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this person should have recognized it, or that person should have recognized it. If a person doesn't go get treatment, they're
right.
not going to be identified.
That's right.
If we're going to increase the stigma or magnify the stigma by saying, not only are we going to look at you as though you have a mental illness, which for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason we're looking down upon people for having a mental illness, we're also going to take away some of your basic rights.
That's right. See, then you start to get into that slip. Then you're on that slippery slope.
Right.
Okay.
Why would anybody get treatment if that's what
right.
we're going to do?
Because I remember in the, I think, 60s and 70s in the Soviet Union, if you worked against the government in any way,
mm-hmm.
you were considered mentally ill.
Right.
You weren't thrown in jail.
Right.
When Stalin was in charge, you were sent to Siberia and you died. After that, they became more sophisticated. They said, if you're against this experiment in socialism, there must be something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sent to mental institutions.
Right.
Because you have to be mentally ill if you don't buy
right.
this political philosophy.
Right.
There must be something wrong with you. So we need to be exceedingly careful
mm-hmm.
about the use of the term mental illness and who we think are mentally ill.
Right.
You know, yesterday you mentioned that rates of ADHD differ based on where you live.
Right.
So in some parts of the country, the rates of ADHD are 3 or 4%. In other parts of the country, they're 10, 12, 14%.
Right.
That's not because more kids
right.
with ADHD live in that part of the country. It's a different expectation.
Right.
And so we need to be very, very careful about this, about
right.
these issues.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Especially when you're talking about denying somebody a right. I don't care whether it's the First Amendment or the Tenth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about denying somebody their rights because of mental illness, you need to be extraordinarily careful. We,
right.
as a nation, need to be extraordinarily careful.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, we're, again, as we mentioned yesterday, we're bringing this up because of all of the discussions following the shooting a couple
right.
weeks ago. And the potentially knee-jerk reaction
mm-hmm.
to say, well, we just got to keep the guns out of the hands of people
mm-hmm.
out of the hands of people with mental illness.
Right.
How are we going to define that?
That's right. That's not how you're going to make this decision.
Right.
Because that's really not what you're asking for. You're asking for, tell us who are most at risk.
Right.
We don't do that right now.
Right.
Okay. We that's not how we're approaching it.
Right.
We should. But let's stop talking about mental illness and let's start talking about who's at risk.
Right.
You know, that's going to take us in a very different direction, but that direction is going to be a more fruitful direction as well.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, all right. Anything else?
No.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about, you know, once again, we look at behaviors that we think of and associate with mental illness.
Right.
But sometimes there are things that happen in our environment. Things, sort of circumstantial, contextual factors right. mm-hmm. that contribute to some of these
right.
symptoms and behaviors. And we've talked before about the ACEs studies, the right. Adverse Childhood Experiences studies. And so tomorrow we're going to talk about some of those things that contribute to potentially violent behavior right. and how that, you know, just that other little wrench in the mm-hmm. in the system that could potentially mess things up has nothing necessarily to do with mental illness specifically, mm-hmm. but sure can manifest in a way that looks like mental illness right. if we're not careful.
That's right. And we need to talk about all of those things mm-hmm. because that may be the more fruitful avenue that we're talking about.
Right. Absolutely. So, yeah. All right. That is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you'll find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.